And join us this morning. It's a beautiful day outside, and it's going to be a beautiful day in here for worship.
So good to see you this morning. It's a beautiful day the Lord has given us. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Came through the storms and the sun is shining in many, many ways. Have lots of things going on in the life of the church. Just want to lift up a few this morning. Always we embrace times in which we can serve our Lord. And of course today we're thinking about service. So what better time than to meet at Quapaw United Methodist Church at 1:30 downtown for Stone Soup. That is a wonderful opportunity in which to minister to the homeless. And all you have to do is have a big smile and ready to help prepare some food, serve it with the love of God. So that's this afternoon at 1:30. Go home, get yourself some lunch, and be ready to serve the Lord and serve others with some warm food and hospitality. You may have noticed in the back of the room there's a carnation sale going on. Mother's Day is right around the corner, and our youth have carnations to sell. And I know that you'll want to honor your loved one in that way. Also, you may have noticed on the front of the bulletin, this is UMW Sunday, UMW, United Methodist Women. And in the sanctuary services, Chase's wife, Reverend Jana Green, is giving the message today. And we're lifting up the service by the United Methodist Women in our church. And a special opportunity is for any of you that do not belong in United Methodist Circle or small group, that they're going to start a new one this summer. And it begins on June the 7th, and it's going to meet just three times over the summer. So if you have a better opportunity in which to participate in that, that's going to be available this summer beginning June 7th. Mary Noble is the contact person for that. And if you are interested, please just call the church office and we'll get more information to you. I want to share also that the youth did a 30-hour famine this past week for World Service, and it's a wonderful thing that they did, thinking about the awareness of hunger in this world. And they're all here alive and well and have been fed since then, but it was a great mission for them to involve in. And also, speaking of mission, as it gets warmer this summer, you may be drinking more sodas. And so on the top of your soda cans are those little tabs. If you will save those and bring those to the church on Sunday morning, we have receptacles that are holding all those just tabs from your soda cans, that they go then to help the Ronald McDonald House. Now, I lift this up to you because there's a lady in our church, wonderful woman named Lou Teeter, and this is a real passion of hers. And she was proud through the ACCDC, our child care school here, and all of you being faithful and bringing your tabs, she was proud to submit 175 pounds of tabs. Praise God. And so that's just a little thing that you can do, but it means so much. It means literally the world to those children and their families. So these are wonderful opportunities for you to engage in. We do have an attendance pad that you'll be asked to sign so that we can be sure and acknowledge your presence here today, especially for our visitors, that we might send you a note of greeting. So let's turn around now and greet one another in the name of the Lord. Thank you so much. If I could have you all be seated now. We have a very special recognition as we think about the ministry of Stone Soup and Greg Stansel, who is so involved in that mission of our church, has a word.
Good morning, all. 30 years ago on Easter Sunday, a group of people got together and they stepped out on faith from various Methodist church. Continuously every week for 30 years, people have served at Stone Soup. Asbury has been one of the churches that's been extremely involved through various people who could come all the time, those that could come occasionally, volunteers just like you that have been involved in this church, in this mission. We would like today to accept something that Stone Soup has sent to us, sent to our volunteers to make sure and acknowledge all of you that have volunteered. And they have asked me to present something to our senior pastor, Reverend Mary. On behalf of the Stone Soup Ministry, we would like to award all of the volunteers at Asbury for their wonderful service they've given us over the years. Thank you.
On behalf of Asbury, we receive this award. Thank you for your service.
And to kind of echo Mary, this afternoon at 1:30, we're given a chance to serve. You know, I found out a long time ago that God talks to each of us in a unique and individual way. If it is in your heart today that you would like to serve, come visit with us. 1:30 this afternoon down at Quapaw Quarter United Methodist. We'd love to have you. Thank you.
Please stand with us this morning. We're going to get this church alive.
Over all the earth, you reign on high. Every mountain stream, every sunset sky. darkest hour, Lord of a Lord of all I am. So much you reign in me again. Over all the earth, you reign on high. Every mountain stream, every sunset sky. But my one request, Lord, my only aim, is that you reign in me again. Lord, reign in me, reign in your power over all my dreams. In the darkest hour, you are my Lord.
Sing a new hallelujah. Yeah. Let us sing love to the nations, bringing hope of the grace that has freed us. Make it known and make him famous. Sing it out, there's a new hallelujah. Yeah.
Let love reach to the other side. Everyone sing a new hallelujah. Everyone sing a new hallelujah.
Good morning. If all my friends will come forward. Good morning. How are we this morning? All right. I'm going to play a game this morning. You love games? Good. I'm so glad. All right. If I say one item, I want you to say the other item that goes with it. So if I say macaroni, you would say, there you go. So you would say cheese. Okay. So if I say peanut butter, you would say jelly. You got it. All right, here we go. If I say hammer, you would say nails. Good job. Okay, let me give you another one. If I say salt, you say? Oh, y'all are good. Do an easy one. I did macaroni. Do a hard one. If I would say, let me think, tractor, Pastor Mary says, what would you say? Trailer. Is that what you were thinking? Hayride. That's what she was thinking. She was thinking. The reason why I said that is there's a lot of things that go hand in hand, right? And we automatically think that. If I say chicken nuggets, you automatically think what? Ketchup. That's right. See? So there's a lot of things that go hand in hand. Well, this morning, I want to talk about if you say that you love Jesus, and then you happen to say, and then you would happen to say something that wasn't right, like you were told a lie. Or if you took something, does that go hand in hand? No, it doesn't. And so, share goes hand in hand. That's right. So today, what I wanted to get across was, is that there's a lot of times when what we say and what our actions are need to go hand in hand. So if we say we love Jesus, that means that we not need to lie. That means that we need to not take something. And so our faith needs to show what our actions are. So the next time that you think, can I get away by telling my parents I cleaned up my room, but I really threw everything in my closet, doesn't work, right? Or, that pencil looks really good sitting on that table, and that would be a really fun pencil to have. Do we need to take it? No. So what needs to happen is we need to remember that we love Jesus, that everything we do needs to honor him. Let's pray. Okay, ready? Father, help us make what we say go together in what we do. In your son's holy name we pray. Amen.
As you see in your bulletin, we have several folks we need to keep in our prayers this morning. Let's bring them as well as others into our hearts as we pray. Let us pray. Most loving God, as we come to you as the body of Christ together, gathered in this room today, and come before you and we pray. Again, another week has held so many things of great concern. Young people who are missing, the ravages of earthquakes, and the tremendous loss of life. We hear of corruption local, state, and national government. We recognize that life is about comings and goings, entrances and exits. And yes, we have experienced that this week as well, with the loss of extended family members of our church members, to the welcoming of not one but two new babies into our congregation, and others very soon to arrive. And you're in the midst of it all. You're in the midst of those who are not here today because they're suffering from illness. You are at the bedside of those who are desperately needing hope in a sea of hopelessness as disease ravages the body. You are in the hearts of those who are on the verge of losing their jobs or have just recently lost their jobs. You are in their hearts, but you are in their path, creating a new way, a new hope, as a door might have closed, but a window is surely about to open. So we come together as the people of Christ, and we pray. We pray because we have been benefactors of prayer. We have been givers of prayer. And yes, we've even been sources of inspiration for prayer. And God, you above all, hear every single syllable of every single prayer that is ever uttered in this universe. And that is overwhelming to try to comprehend, but that's all right, because you are not a God that can be comprehended, not totally, just in glimpses. But those glimpses build a foundation of our faith, and we are grateful and we are thankful. So we come together as your people today who pray, but we come together as your people who repent, knowing that we have caused you sorrow from our sin, and we have not lived up to our salvation. We have not acted as a changed people. So forgive us, we pray. Help us to follow more closely the path of service, of witness, of prayer, of presence, and of our gifts. So we offer this in the name of one who encompasses all that and so much more, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the power and the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, now and always. Amen. We'd invite our ushers to come forward. You'll note that they are members of the United Methodist Women, and we greet them and as we prepare to pray. Our God and our Father, it is always a wonderful joy to share of the blessings that you have bestowed upon our lives. The abundance is so grand, and yet you ask so little. But we offer these gifts now, knowing that you will grow them in the abundance of your power and of your majesty, that so many lives will be touched through them. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
My life has led me down the road that's so uncertain. Now I am left alone and I am broken, trying to find my way, trying to find the faith that's gone. This time I know that you are holding all the answers. I'm tired of losing hope and taking chances on roads that never seem to be the ones that bring me home. Give me revelation, show me what to do. 'Cause I've been trying to find my way, I haven't got a clue. Tell me, should I stay here, or do I need to move? Give me a revelation, I got nothing without you. I got nothing without you. My life has led me down this path that's ever winding. Through every twist and turn, I'm always finding that I am lost again. Tell me when this road will ever end. And give me revelation, show me what to do. 'Cause I've been trying to find my way, I haven't got a clue. Tell me, should I stay here, or do I need to move? Give me a revelation, I got nothing without you. I got nothing without. I don't know where that I can turn. Tell me, when will I learn? Won't you show me where I need to go? Way, I haven't got a clue. Tell me, should I stay here, or do I need to move? Give me a revelation, I got nothing without you. I got nothing without you. Oh, no.
Going to be looking at the second chapter. Let me tell you a little bit about James. James is the book that when I was a youth minister several different times, I began with. It seems as if he's talking to all of us that are just starting out in the faith as we struggle. And I think about who James is. James is the brother of Jesus. The brother that he didn't acknowledge was the Son of God. So I love the book of James, and I share with you now from the second chapter. What does it profit, my brothers, if a man says he has faith but has not works? Can his faith save him? If a brother or sister is ill-clad and in lack of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what does it profit? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. But some will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I by my works will show you my faith. The word of God for the people of God. We've been looking at the United Methodist Church's vows the last few weeks. And as we have looked at them, we talked about witness the first week. Witness understanding that when we're out of these walls of the church, that who we are in Christ says a great deal to the world about the authenticity or how Christ makes a difference. And so as we witness, we talked about the fact that it's not really so much what you say and what you do that perhaps is a greater impact than who you are in Christ. And then we looked at the idea of our vow of presence. And understandably, there are some here today who are not present for whatever reason, and that does impact us. However, as we think about presence, that's about who we are again out in the world. And it's when we are together in the fellowship of Christ, how we are present with one another. Amen? Today we look at service. We give of ourselves to God, in the name of God, of our time and our talent and our skill. And that's a very good thing. In fact, when you join Asbury United Methodist Church, we have a new member packet that's together. And it has various things in there, like our pictorial directory, the church calendar, so that you can be aware of all the events throughout the year. It has all kinds of information, but in it is a great document, and it's a covenant. And the covenant is a list of all the ministries of the church. Ministries of which you may look through and go, that interests me, or I think I could do that, or I'd like to serve in that. Now, I want you to know that I'm not going to go and spend a great deal of time in the message today about a great list or opportunities for you to be able to serve or lift up positions in the church which are important for you to serve in leadership. I'm not going to do that because I wouldn't want you to think that your senior pastor is enlisting you to be obligated to do one of these things. No, I hope that out of the message today that you leave feeling inspired, feeling a desire rather than an obligation to serve your Lord through the ministries of Asbury Church. Some interpretation of this passage in the book of James might provide a wonderful opportunity to lay a guilt trip on you. I mean, he's pretty to the point, coercing you to do tasks and again, take leadership in those places we have available in our church. However, you might interpret this verse to say, as we just read, you have faith, I have works. You believe, I do something. You fold your hands in prayer, I put mine to the plow. The imagery which James uses is quite colorful. Hear my humble paraphrase of what James is saying. Suppose a person knocks on the door and you see right away that he or she is hungry. You see right away that their stomach is sunken for lack of food. You see right away that their skin is just barely covering the skeleton so obvious. You might say to them, well, may the Lord bless you. And may you find some place warm to lay down tonight. And may you find some food for your stomach, something that will nourish you. And then, with a pat on the shoulder and a good old Southern, well, God bless your little heart, you send them on their way. What would be so good about that? Just beginning in ministry, the bishop and the cabinet have a way of putting their young seminary graduates in small towns to serve. I've had my share of them. And in one particular town, I found that what had happened in the previous town must be just a cardinal rule. Everyone in the town not only watches the pastor and their family, but they definitely know where they live. I mean, everyone, even if they're just passing through town. And so early on in my ministry, Tony was going into law school. And the girls and I were at home one afternoon, and there came a knock on the door. And I opened the door, and a woman looked at me and said, "Is the preacher here?" And I invited her in, and she asked again, "I'd like to speak to the preacher. Is the preacher here?" And I said, "I am the preacher. What can I do for you?" Clearly, there was a lot I could do for her. She was dirty. She wore the marks of having been beaten. And she had two small little girls in tow. And she poured out her story. And she had finally gotten the gumption after this last beating to leave her abusive husband. And she was wanting to know, again, a small town, not even a hotel. She was wanting to know if there was any way that we could put her and her two little girls up for the night and somehow get her to Little Rock the next day where she would stay with her sister. You know, it's amazing what a hot bath and a meal can do for the human spirit. And in that case, three human spirits. Our older daughter, Katie, gave up her bedroom that night. The next morning, I got the girls off to school, and I took this little family to go to Little Rock to stay with their sister, who she trusted. And I felt good doing that. And the reason I felt good doing that is because I felt that God had sent that little family to us that we might be able to give them hope again. Maybe there would be reconciliation down the road. I don't know. I never saw her again. Didn't need to. But to this day, I still remember them and hope that things turned out well. And I share this with you because I know you too have found yourself in a situation, perhaps on a highway, in a neighborhood, in your own family, assisting a stranger and feeling good that you could do so for the glory of God. It reminds me of a college in Indiana, Taylor University, that when they have their graduation ceremony, you know what they do? The university president, along with the diploma, hands each graduate a towel. A towel. Implying that now that they have received their degree, they are encouraged to go out into the world and to serve. The world has all kinds of servants. There are those servants who serve out of fear. We know this. And there are those servants who serve out of obligation. But I believe that Jesus is calling us to be servants who give out of love because they can do nothing less. There was once a married couple who really didn't love each other very much. And shortly after they were married, the husband gave the wife a list of chores, of jobs, that he expected her to do every day of their married life. And so she obeyed his rules. She performed those tasks and did so faithfully but miserably every day of their marriage. Well, one day the husband died, and a few years later, this same woman met a man, fell in love, and they got married. He was everything that she had ever hoped for in a life mate. He was so good to her, lavished her with gifts, showered her with love, never asked a thing of her. One morning when she was cleaning the house, she went to go find something in a drawer. And when she kind of dug through the drawer, she found that original list from her first husband in her first marriage. And she read through that list, and it just dawned on her that she was still doing the same things every day that she had done in her first marriage. But she realized that now she was doing it out of love. She was doing it out of joy. That no longer was she miserable doing her cleaning. It gave her joy. It made her happy. God wants us to serve Him, don't you see, out of jubilation, not obligation. God wants us to serve out of love, not out of duty. We live in a society, and boy, am I ever present in understanding of it, being the CEO, so to speak, of this church. We live in a society, and you experience it too at work, where we are becoming more and more legalistic, where we are having to set more and more policy into place to try to protect ourselves from lawsuits. We have become a lawsuit-happy kind of society. But what so often that does, albeit a good idea to protect ourselves, all of this legalism is adding weight to our work. Where love should be the driving force in our work, love that acts as wings to our service. I think this is the kind of servanthood Jesus was trying to demonstrate in John 13. When He was demonstrating servanthood as a primary factor of leadership. And He said, "No longer do I call you servants. Now I call you friends. Give this service out of love. For the true servant does not serve to glorify themselves, but to glorify God." And He further demonstrated this with these words that we find in the gospel. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the master." Jesus wants us to realize that somewhere in the midst of works and serving, we can become lost if our service does not come from the heart. There's a wonderful book called In the Sacred Romance, co-authored by Brent Curtis and John Eldridge, who cites this. "In the end, it doesn't matter how well we have performed or what we have accomplished, for a life without heart is not worth living. For out of this wellspring of our soul flows all true, caring and meaningful work, real worship and sacrifice. Faith, hope, and love comes from this fount." And then he went on to say that sometimes busyness substitutes for meaning, efficiency substitutes for creativity, and functional relationships substitute for love. Well, if they're functioning, there must be love involved. Not always the case. Often we operate like robots sometimes in an ought to kind of mode. I ought to do this, I ought to do that. And we're worried about the guilt or the shame or the burden we'll feel if we don't do what we ought to do. Where is the mystery of the love? Where is the majesty and the glory of God in that kind of attitude towards our service? My friends, there really is this spiritual dimension. There is in our world and our desire to do good things, but in doing all these good things, we run the risk of losing communion with God by activity for God. The last thing I ever want Asbury United Methodist Church to be is a vessel of only activity, of being just consumed and focused on business. That is not the business of God. Serving out of the heart, serving out of an intent to glorify God, that's what Asbury United Methodist Church needs to be about. Everything seems in life can be managed somehow, but the heart, that most sacred place that monitors all hopes, all dreams, all feelings. You know the old adage, I may not remember quite what you said, but I'll always remember how you made me feel. Your heart, as mine, registers everything. If we truly feel a need for a deeper, more meaningful relationship with God, passion for God's church will naturally flow, and nothing nor no one should ever be allowed to be the obstacle to that. Service. Jesus said in John 15, again, no longer do I call you servants, now I call you friends. Jesus loved his disciples so much that he taught them how to love by serving. Rare is it when you have a situation where you find yourself transitioning, right, in a relationship. Sometimes we're even discouraged to transition from coworker to friend. Rare is it, and blessed are we when we have a lifetime friend. Someone that we've known our whole lives. Rare still can we have a handful of friends that we trust them with our lives. We trust them with the lives of those we love the deepest. Rare is that. And here is Jesus, by his own words, transitioning disciples, which meant learners, as he faced the cross into the honorable position of being called friend. And he did that in demonstrating to him what was the meaning, what was the core of that friendship, and that was to love one another. And that was to lay your life down for one another. And literally, Christ almost laid down in a humble position as he bowed to the floor on his knees, taking a towel and wiping and washing the feet of the disciples. But he did so much more than give their feet a bath. He was wiping away any guilt they might feel. He was wiping away any hurt they might have, or resentment or bitterness. He was cleansing not only their feet, but cleansing and freeing them of their sin. Freeing them from all of the grime that had collected in their hearts. Jesus said, let the humbled be exalted, and the exalted be humbled. Whoever desires to be great in God's kingdom, what'd he say? Must be a servant. And his heart led them to a whole world in which to serve. And he gave them a salvation in which they would be so grateful that they couldn't help but want to go out and to serve. Do you have that kind of level? Do you have that kind of depth of thanksgiving? Because that's passion. That's not obligation. That's not duty. That is being so thankful for being saved, for your soul to never perish, but to live with this awesome God forever by a man who went to the cross and bled and overcame death in resurrection power to give us the power of our salvation so then we could go share that power with the world. That's what should drive our service. That kind of passion, that kind of gratitude. Amen. So, how will you serve? Your heart is your compass. How is it leading? In what direction is it leading you to serve? Create your own path. And let the love you have for Christ motivate each step on that path. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I would invite our celebration singers and band to come forward now as you join me in prayer. Most loving God, we are always thankful for your presence. We are so thankful for the witness of Christ. And now as we look to this vow of service, we look more deeply, O God, in the way that we serve and in the attitude in which we serve. Pour out your Holy Spirit. Bathe our feet in its steps in service. Bathe our hearts in our perspective and depth of love. Bathe our minds with your Spirit, that we will want to speak and to move and the power of your Holy Spirit this day and forevermore. Amen. I would invite the congregation to stand and sing as we prepare to join in on our closing song today. If there are those here today who would like to unite with this church in any of the ways we receive members, to come forward and transfer your membership or to profess your faith or to renew your faith or to pray, I invite you to do so as we sing.
Crowded in worship today, as she slips in, trying to fade into the faces. The girl's teasing laughter is carrying farther than they know, farther than they know. But if we are the body, why are his arms reaching? Why are his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? And if we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing them there is a way? There is a way. A traveler is far away from home. He sheds his coat and quietly sinks into the back row. The weight of their judgmental glances tells him that his chances better out on the road. But if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? And if we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing? Jesus came prize for us to pick and choose who should come. We are the body of Christ. But if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? And if we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing? Then there is a way. But if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? And if we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why aren't his love not showing? Then there is a way. And Jesus is the way.
It was so wonderful to be with you in worship today. Be sure that you speak to someone that you don't recognize today and let them know how glad you were to be in worship with them. Our challenge is this world. Every day it presents all kinds of challenges. And every day presents an opportunity for us to serve through Christ, to ask ourselves, what and how is Christ going to use me today to serve one another? Where would you be, think about it, if someone had not served you in your time of need? Think about that. Let that motivate and let that urge you to be really vigilant to find places to serve as we go now in the peace of Christ. Amen.